Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Into a series of interviews with local educators right here in the middle of the school year, Superintendent Paul Hillier of the South Umpqua School District. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you.
And talk about how this year is going for you at South Umpqua.
It's going fast. I mean, we're already halfway through it and still have a lot of things to accomplish before the second part of the year is finished. So you start feeling a bit of a crunch at this time of year as you realize that your time is sort of limited and there's a lot to do with our students still. But it's been a good first part of the year and have really enjoyed it.
So explain kind of what you're doing as an interim superintendent this year, and I'm sure there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things going on as you kind of help the district move forward.
There really is. You know, you try to hit the ground running, knowing that you're going to be there 1 year, and you look at, you know, what are some of the things that you can address in that one-year period of time with your experience and so forth to help the district move forward and not just sort of maintain for that year. So we've been working on quite a few things, actually, and we've had a big focus on safety. That's a main issue for me always, is number one, is making sure that we're as safe as we can be. And so we've been working on improving our emergency operating manual in the school district, which is about a 200-page document to make sure we're covering all the potential crises that could happen, whether it's earthquakes, fire, smoke, intruder, whatever it happens to be. Been working hard on that with several people from our district. We've put in a panic button system within our district, so for our staff, if they have any concerns in any of those different areas, they can use their cell phones and push the button for that particular issue and have the right people get notified for help. We've done a safety audit in the district that we've asked the Oregon Department of Education to do, going through each of our facilities, taking a look at the safety of the facilities themselves and also our processes within each facility to see if there's some things we can improve on. And we did get a good plan from them on different facility issues that we're going to submit for a COPS grant in the second part of the year here, and we've got a grant writer for that. And just establishing common practices across the districts and partnerships with the different law enforcement people. So been working hard on that. We've been working hard on improving our mentoring system for new teachers coming in, because that's, you know, we've got a number of people that we have hired that are very new to the profession. I think almost half of our teachers have been hired in the last 3 years. So we want to make sure that when they come in, we've got experienced teachers working with them and in a very organized, consistent way. And so we've been really improving that system for our teachers. We've been looking at instructional improvement across the district, improving classroom practices. We've established an instructional improvement checklist, which all administrators, all principals are using as they're going into the classrooms, giving feedback to their teachers, looking for ways within each classroom that they could move forward and be doing things in a different way to improve student learning. We've actually had two instructional walkthroughs in the district first semester where we've had all of our administrators go through all of our classrooms in the buildings, giving feedback to the principals on each of those classrooms and helping the principals look for different areas that they can improve.
Sounds like you've got a lot of things going on. Did I hear you correctly that half of the teachers hired or half of the teachers in the district are new in the last 3 years?
Yeah, approximately that. In one of our schools, for example, 60% of the teachers there have been hired within the last 3 years. As a district as a whole, the number or the percentage might be more like 40%, you know, to be really accurate. But yeah, we've got a lot of new staff. There's been teachers over the last years that have retired and so forth, and so it's a challenge making sure all those new teachers coming in are comfortable in what they're doing and are successful with our kids.
Now, of course, during the pandemic, a number of people, percentage-wise around the nation in teaching, opted to maybe retire early or move into to another field. And I am understanding that not as many people, and maybe a bit of a scary amount, are even pursuing the field of education.
There's a real teacher shortage right now, and not just in our area, but in Oregon in general and across the nation. And so, yeah, it makes it a real challenge, especially in rural areas where, you know, to attract people to come to your district from a larger area, you have to be pretty competitive in what you're doing to attract people to where you are. And having a good mentor program is one of those things. And, you know, just really doing outreach and helping them understand the community and so forth. So, and we, of course, are in the middle of a superintendent hire process as well. And so we've been doing some of those same things to attract candidates for the superintendency in our district. And we should have somebody hired, at least the goal is, at our first board meeting in February, which would be February 7th, would be the date of that, that they land on one candidate that they will move for approval. We had about 15 candidates apply for the position, so we had a pretty good response. And so that's a big focus, too, of the school district right now moving forward.
Now, would they end up starting before the end of the school year and sort of working with you to finish out the school year, or might they end up not coming till early fall of the next year?
They probably would start in July, probably the first day of July, and depending on who the person is, of course, and what their current obligations are, I would hope I could start working with them at least in June, getting them acclimated to the district and just getting them familiarized with what we're doing here, and also, you know, just answer any questions they have and help them in any way that I possibly can, too. So hopefully in June we can be doing some of that work.
Now, you talked about all the newer folks in the last few years. For the current year, how are the staffing levels doing? Do you find openings not getting filled sometimes?
We were able to get all of our teaching openings filled. Kind of had to scratch to get some of our special ed positions filled before the first of the year, but we were able to do it. One of the positions that we've had a hard time filling are some of our special education educational assistant openings. In fact, I think we've just filled our last one in the last couple of weeks. So we had several that just went unfilled for quite a period of time there. So basically, in all of those kinds of positions, it's a challenge. And you don't want to just take anybody that applies. You want to make sure you're getting good quality people as well. So you want to have more than one applicant per every teaching position for sure. But it's been an uphill battle over the last year for sure.
And as a longtime career educator, does it concern you as things adjusted in the protocol for what it took to get a teaching job? Has that shifted because of the lack of folks coming out of colleges? Do you see any issues with the overall impact going down the road?
I really do. I mean, it's such an important position. I just feel like in our society, we don't respect teachers enough or appreciate the difficulty and the importance of their jobs. I think as a nation, we really need to look at that because we need to be getting the most qualified and the most talented people going into education. And right now across the country, I'm not sure if that's happening. There's very few people going into education, and sometimes I really wish we had a higher standard for those teaching candidates coming into colleges as well, so that we get the best people possible in front of students. That's what they do in other countries, and I think in the United States, we really need to look at that. need to look at what we're paying teachers and look at how we respect them and how we can attract the best and the brightest into the teaching profession. That's really important for our country.
All right, we're going to take a break. More with Superintendent Paul Hillier when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Superintendent Paul Hillier from the South Umpqua School District in studio with us, talking about his role as an interim superintendent here for this year. And I know your last post was how many years in the Klamath Falls area?
I was superintendent there for 11 years, from 2010 through 2021.
And living here this school year and getting back to the Klamath Falls area periodically looks like it may be a challenge.
It truly is. I go home on weekends, or try to, and with the weather we've been having lately, that hasn't been particularly easy or safe. So, yeah, I'll be kind of glad when the interim role is done for that reason, that's for sure.
So talk about any new programs that got started in the district this year. Anything going on?
Well, you know, we've really been working on those areas that I mentioned, and one thing we're also looking at is in the area of efficiency and energy. We're looking at applying for an energy grant very soon because we have to really replace all of the lighting in our district, basically from fluorescent lights to LED lights. So we've been doing a lot in the facility area to look at improving the energy efficiency we have, working with Energy Trust of Oregon. And just, you know, the facilities in general have been a little bit more of an area of focus than what I anticipated when I came here. But our buildings, I think the average one was built in about the 1950s. So they're at the stage right now where they have a lot of needs, whether it's replacing HVAC systems or roofs or parking lots and all those kinds of things. So that's been one of those focuses I've had to really pick up as I've gotten here. We've been doing a lot of work in that particular area.
You know, you mentioned the lighting aspect, and I was just thinking, because South Umpqua, you've got a lot of very older buildings. Some might even see the term ancient in there in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And as lighting has evolved, I'm aware of this from other aspects of organizations locally, there's a point there where they tell you, no, we can't replace that. You can't get another one of those.
Yeah.
You have to get something different. And mm-hmm. what I think about what you just talked about with the district,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge expense
mm-hmm.
to make that shift, and probably in a shorter period of time than you'd maybe care to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fluorescent lights will not be made in 2025 anymore, so you won't be able to even get them. And like I said, virtually every classroom, every office in our whole district is fluorescent lights right now. So you can imagine what that'll be like to replace all of those from one side of the district to the other. And we're going to try to get as much done as we can in 2024 because there's pretty good incentives right now to do it, which will be going away in 2025. So to try to get a lot of work done in a short period of time is a challenge. So.
Now, I know that one of your buildings, one of your campuses, got an additional building, and I didn't have a chance to take a look. I want to say it was the middle school with a cafeteria added, maybe?
That's correct, yes. Coffinberry Middle School, they've got the new cafeteria going this year. It's been great for the students. It's a very nice structure. It was basically paid for through grants. It was about a $4 million structure. So, and a lot of that came through some of those COVID dollars, you know, that school districts had through those COVID years. So really nice facility, and it's pretty multi-purpose. We actually have our band program in there as well, and has two very large sort of garage door type things so that we can keep those open in the nice weather for the students to just go outside to have a break and be after their lunch before they start their afternoon classes. Probably the best thing about it is it's improved safety, because it's a very short walk from the classroom building to the cafeteria now. And before, they actually had to go on to a whole nother campus, our elementary school, Myrtle Creek, to eat their lunches, and they had to cross a street to get there and go down a steep hill with a stairway. And it was a waste of time as well for each lunch period. They had to waste probably 5 to 10 minutes just getting there and back. So just a really big improvement for those kids.
You know, and I really like the idea. Somebody kind of thought out of the box, especially for Oregon, the idea of the garage doors and being able to be, during the nice weather, to be very open.
Yeah, it's really handy. So the students just really enjoy it. And then, like I said, it makes their day much more efficient, too, going from their classes to lunch and back.
Now, you talked about some of the infrastructure, the buildings. The district has put out a couple of proposals along the way that haven't gained traction. Any effort on that in the future?
You know, nothing planned at this point, Kyle. I think they're going to have to, though. I think they're going to have to look at the Canyonville site. That building was built, I think, in like the 1930s. So it is has a lot of needs, and it's right off of the interstate, which is not a good thing. So just from a safety perspective, that needs to be looked at. And then Coffinberry Middle School is another, the classroom building part of that campus is very old and has a lot of needs as well. That might have been built in the 1940s, so it's seen its time. Coffinberry has a gym that was built in the 1990s, so that part of the campus is in very good shape, and of course this new cafeteria is too. But the other parts are in a lot of need of improvement. So at some point in time, when I'm not here, the district is going to have to go for a bond issue, unless the state comes up with some facility dollars. That's one thing I've been trying to work with some of our local representatives on, is having the state look at small rural areas like ours that don't have a very rich tax base, to see if we can get more help for facilities from the state level. It's pretty easy for some districts, such as Portland, Salem, Eugene, some of those larger districts, to pass bond issues easily because they have a high tax valuation base to work from. So the past bond issue doesn't have as much of an impact on the local taxpayer as in a smaller district such as ours without a lot of land valuation. So hopefully something in the state can happen with that in the future from an equity standpoint, because it's really not fair to the small rural districts who have to suffer through buildings that are not really great for learning.
What about, as an interim superintendent, what have been some of the bright spots so far this year?
Well, you know, I would say one of the really surprises to me has been the support of the community. And I know that sounds rather trite, but it's really true. We've had, since I've been on board, a couple of fundraisers, for example, one with our booster club and one with our foundation, each of them gaining, you know, $70,000 to $100,000 in contributions from the local community, which is just absolutely amazing. And then people in general have just been very supportive of the schools. Another thing that has been really edifying for me, I don't know if you'd say it's a surprise necessarily, but it's just the quality of leadership that we have in the district at the principal level, just excellent principals in every building, and really strong leadership too in our district office. So just been very pleased with that. For a smaller district, to see that type of leadership quality is really great to see. And, you know, it was great to have the Teacher of the Year for the region come from our district early in the year. So that was exciting, with Jessica Norton getting Teacher of the Year. And she really deserves it. She's a great teacher and works extremely well with our students. And, of course, the grand opening of the new cafeteria was a real highlight. So, you know, those are some of the highlights thus far of the year, and moving forward, we'll see a lot more of that in second semester.
So what are your plans after this school year wraps up?
Well, I'm planning on going back to Klamath Falls and resuming my retirement, and, you know, if I can help out with the school district in some way down the road, helping the next superintendent or anything else, I'm happy to do that. But in general, it's going back to the retirement mode again, so that'll be different, slowing down like that.
Well, it sounds like you've got a very busy year and a lot yet to do in the balance of it. Superintendent Paul Hillier from the South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Well, great to be here. Thank you.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.